This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Cliff's Meat Market has been a cornerstone of the food industry in the Triangle for more than four decades. Cliff Collins sold his tractor, his truck, and his motorcycle to start the shop when he was in his 20s. It is now one of the last family-owned markets in the area. One key to Cliff's success is his ability to evolve with his community and create products to meet their needs. The market now caters to the area's growing Latino customers with specific styles of cuts of meat, and Cliff has developed a reputation for making a supportive and welcoming work environment for many new immigrants. The new documentary, Un Bueno Carnicero, tells the story of Cliff and one of his employees, Gerardo Martin. Gerardo goes by the name Tolo. He's a butcher. He's been working alongside Cliff for almost 18 years, and we're going to preview the documentary today. Joining me first, Cliff Collins of Cliff's Meat Market. Hello, Cliff. Welcome to the States. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Hello.
So tell us about this. Kind of 1973, there are not more meat markets in America. There are fewer and fewer, and you decide to sell everything, including your motorcycle, to start a thing that America is seeing less and less of. What were you thinking?
I was thinking I could make it.
Yeah? Wait, were you always, you were cutting meat in
yes.
high school, right?
I started in high school across the street from my store, and the store was fading down there, and I knew I had to do something with my life, so the opportunity came. I wanted my own place, so I took the chance.
What was it about that? I mean, when you were meat cutting, did you know right then and there that that's just something you – was it about owning the store? Because it was more than just a meat market. It's kind of a general grocery store, right?
Yes. I knew I'd have an inside job. It'd be warm in the winter and cool in the summer. I've worked outside all my life.
Demographics now in that area have changed a lot in 40 years, right? Tell us about the changes you've seen.
It's changed a whole lot. Population is 10 times more. Diversity is a lot better, and it's very good. So we got the ups on all of the United States on that part, I think. Downtown Carver is great. It's everybody.
But it means that you've had to change along with it. When did you first notice that you had to start changing things, customers coming in asking for things that you maybe didn't even know how to do, right?
Yeah, I didn't know what they were saying, but we'd point to everything. And after a while, I said, they're speaking Spanish, and I was learning libras and all the things like that, pounds. So I talked to a friend up the street and said, I need somebody to speak Spanish to help me in the store. He said, I'll do it. I said, no, I can hire you away from the man you're working for. Find me someone else. And he did.
He found you Gerardo Martinez, who goes by Tolo, who's been working at Cliff's shop for 18 years. And he's with us now. Tolo, welcome to the State of Things. Good
yes.
to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
When did you start cutting meat?
Well, I started in 1995. And Cliff, you know, he asked me. You want to work for me? So I start clean fish when I start working with Cliff, and he's my teacher.
What is it? What do you need to know to be a successful butcher?
I understand that part.
¿Qué tiene que saber para ser un buen carnicero?
Oh,
éxito?
You need to cut good your meat, cut the meat for the customers, and laughing, you know, stay with customers.
Yeah, because you're
nice.
you're not just behind a wall. You talk to the customers.
Yes.
And you butcher the meat, right?
Yes.
So in the documentary, you talked about feeling trapped in the United States.
Yes.
What do you mean?
I feel that way because sometimes I want to take a break with my wife. I go to the park, and sometimes the police come and say, hey, what are you doing here? And I want to feel free. I don't want to feel kind of trapped all the time and somebody behind me all the time. And it's not only me, it's all the Spanish people. So I just want to something different because I is working for many years here. So, and it's not only for me, I want for everybody.
Well, Cliff, I know you have some strong feelings about that as well. And obviously you've seen your clientele change. These are people who are coming to your market and obviously making money and paying taxes and paying for food because they're in your shop. When Tolo tells you about feeling trapped, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking we need to make some moves, make some changes. The government needs to do something about it and in a positive way. I've got my ideas about it, but they don't listen to me. That it'd be good ideas. It'd be good for America.
Well, Tolo, you had an opportunity to own your own taco truck, too.
Yes. 2 years ago. And now I rent chairs and tables. So I got a new business. We put Martinez Renting. And it's what I do. Cut meat, and for the graduations now, I rent the chairs and tables.
Is it your dream to own your own business?
Yes. And also I want to help people because I learned how cut meat. I like to help like the small business, like farmers, small farmers. So now I learn a lot from Cliff. So I can help. If we go together, maybe we can help, you know, one to the other.
Kind of build that industry.
Yes, yes.
Well, this is all together. I'm talking to Tolo and to Cliff Collins, owner of Cliff's Meat Market in Carrboro, and they are the subject of a documentary produced by Victoria Bulabasis. She's a journalist and food writer and co-founded a documentary company called Vittles, and she joins us now on The State of Things. Welcome. Nice to have you here. Tell us about this, where this idea came from for your documentary and what you're trying to show.
Sure. Well, Vittles Films tells stories through the lens of food, and we were commissioned by the Southern Foodways Alliance to pitch to them. They had done an oral history on Cliff Collins and wanted a story about his market. So I had met Cliff in 2010 when I was doing some activism for immigration and was really surprised by the conversations I had with him. And I had met Tolo just as a customer. So I knew there was a story there and just started, you know, hanging out and asking them more and more questions.
You only spent like a day and a half in the store, right?
Right. And it was July 3rd, which was very convenient because that parallel to feeling trapped and 4th of July was just very
It was a busy day. So you captured a lot of the diversity, the people who come in and out. What was the theme? What were you looking for in the story that you were going to tell? And did it change at all in the process of your producing it?
It struck me that there are parallels between Cliff's story and Tolo's story. Like you said, Cliff sold a lot very early on, young, to open a business, and Tolo started when he was 17.
Yes.
But, you know, there's very distinct realities there based on the current legal system we're living under. So I wanted to explore that and, you know, also show that food is a trend and it's a very, you know, artisanal thing. And the very last hand to touch that product is Tolo and his colleagues. So we should care about, you know, their lives as well.
Cliff, talk to me about those and talk to all of us about those early days of building that business. Again, all of the meat business is going to supermarkets in the 70s. And so there may be a meat counter there, but the idea of the local butcher is beginning to die out. How do you think you remain successful in that environment?
Well, keeping the prices low and running the volume, looking for a quick nickel instead of a slow dime. I sold to the restaurants, started selling to them, and they were tickled to get the prices that I'd give them. And that was as a volume. And after a while, I started running the truck. So I was doing wholesale and retail. And that gave me more buying power to buy and sell cheaper than, say, Harris Teeter.
You know, it's interesting to see the businesses that stay. We said you're one of the very few kind of locally owned markets. I know here in Durham there's King's Red and White, and there are a couple of other locally owned shops, and they all seem to have adjusted to the times, a lot more locally produced products and making sure that the meat products are the things that, you know, folks in the neighborhood buy. Did that come naturally to you, the idea that things are changing? Could you see those changes fairly quickly?
Well, not so quickly.
Yeah.
I see the changes.
Yeah.
A lot of changes in the inspections and all those things like that got in the way. Mm-hmm. So I had to follow their rules.
Well, that's the thing you talked about. You talked about volume, but that was the problem for small ma-and-pa grocery stores. They couldn't keep up with the volume. If you have a chain grocery store, you're buying from wholesalers at prices way lower, it seems to me, than what you could buy for as a local singly operated store. How did you keep the prices lower and do so much volume?
There's as much money and it's as much profit in buying as it is selling. And I was taught by a lot of older guys. And when I started cutting meat, everybody in the market was 20, 30, 40 years in the meat business. And I listened to what they said.
And you talked about local restaurants. You're supplying to a lot of the local restaurants in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, right?
In Durham.
Raleigh. But again, so that requires a fair amount of space, and I would assume. I mean, or is it just quick turnover?
Quick turnover, and I do have a little warehouse close to my store.
Tolo, how much have you learned in the time that you've spent as a butcher from the time you started?
A lot. Yeah. A lot, yes. I know a lot now. So I can cut good the ribeyes, tenderloins, everything, chickens.
You started with fish, right?
Yes, with fish. And so I'm working good in the fish too. So I can cut good in the fish and the chickens, fast, slow.
And Victoria, when you did this film, and it's subtitled both in English and in Spanish, so people are speaking English, you've got Spanish subtitles, that you were very, I think, intentional about wanting to make this film accessible to many, or two communities in particular, right?
Right. I mean, if you spend a day at Cliff's, you hear mostly Spanish, and I think it's cool that Cliff is very comfortable with that. And I also wanted everyone to be able to understand it, so maybe Cliff needs his own subtitles, too.
Well, Tolo, somebody said that when you speak English, you sound kind of like a kind of country, right?
Country. Yes, yes.
And you picked that
because,
up from
who? Anyway, I don't go to the school, so I'm always working for my family. And we're working together all the time. And I told my kids to working hard. Don't ask to the governor for money. You is working.
Well, I can imagine that you have a lot of respect for Cliff, but then there are different cuts, right? The
yes.
Latino community is looking for meat cut in different ways than maybe Cliff's first customers were. Did you ever have to sort of tell Cliff, that's not the way it's going to work for my family?
No.
How about that? Yeah, Cliff?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not hard-headed.
That's okay.
So I wanted to learn that way, too.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, they want it like this. I said, fix it for them.
Was that hard for you?
I mean, no, it was not hard at all.
Yeah?
It was easy because one was working for me, Tolo. Then we hired another Hispanic-speaking person, and he teaches him. It's easier for me. Less work for me.
What are some of the differences just in the way you might cut a beef or pork that maybe Cliff was doing it one way, but in the Latino community you do it a very special way?
As for different ways, yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different. Like the Boston butts, we cut the one way, and for the American people, we cut different way. So.
And this assumes that you're going to cook it.
And the chickens too.
Yeah.
The chickens too, we cut different, a little bit different.
So Victoria, yes. How unique is Cliff's situation in food retail? Because you're doing this for the Southern Foodways Alliance, so this is kind of essentially a marketing group for a whole region. How common is Cliff's story?
I'm not sure, actually. I think what's uncommon is, like you said, the guys, all of his butchers are from Mexico. Am I correct in saying that? And they're front and center, and I think most of the people who are workers are behind a kitchen door, so you don't really see what's going on. So that's uncommon to me. But there are, I think in Carbro especially, it's, you know, that's the deal. Kitchens are run by immigrants.
Wait, Cliff, it's interesting because, you know, I think one of the secrets to your success has been your agility in understanding what your market needs. Your family is deeply rooted in North Carolina. You go way back, don't you?
Yes, sir.
How far back and how do you know?
My mother's side of the family is 1674, and they got streets in Durham named after them. Rigsby was a name, but that's important to me too, to keep up with everything. Tolo has a big heart. He's asking questions while I go out the way in there, and that's what makes him go. And another thing about the meat business, almost everybody but Americans, they cut their steaks thick. Everybody else cuts theirs thin. They don't have the supply that we have. So they have to eat less to make it go further.
Eat less and actually be perhaps a little more skillful in the way they cook it. If you're gonna keep a lot of grizzle and fat around a knuckle or something, I mean, that's something my grandmother used to do, and I've never seen meat cut that way. But you'd have to kind of work your way around this thing, and yet it would fall off the bone. It was delicious, but it wasn't a giant slab of meat on your plate, and so. The cooking is a lot different. Well, Cliff, let me ask you this. When you start bringing in different varieties of meat, you still have old customers. Do you find some of your original customers changing their ways, their buying habits? Are they buying more chorizo than they used to?
That's new to them. Yes, they are. And they're liking it. And they ask Tolo and the other guys behind the counter how to cook stuff. They want to do it the way they're doing it. They want to change. You know, everybody wants to upgrade everything. And that's worked real well for me.
Tolo, do you also cook?
Yes, I cook. Yes,
yeah.
And when I start to make chorizo in the store, I start like maybe 30 pounds, and now for this week 400 pounds. So, Yes, and I cook chorizo. And,
and are you finding everything. that it's not just the Latino community buying chorizo, for instance? Others are buying it, or is it only Latinos
who
buy it?
No. Everybody. And we make other stuff like carne al pastor. So we put pineapple and other stuff, guajillo peppers.
Yeah, how much of what you knew about growing up, how many of your favorites have changed because of your exposure, because of being an American? Have you changed things to be a little more American? The way you cut meat, the way you cook, ingredients that you add?
Yes. I changed.
I mean, your chorizo recipe, for instance, where did it come from?
That one comes from Guanajuato.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So somebody gave the recipe. But right now I changed the recipe because I tasted and, you know, it's make a little bit different. So
give me an idea. What would change in a recipe like that?
When we start to make it, we put too much salt. So now the people don't like too much salt in the chorizo. We take off some salt. And I put more guajillo peppers because it's, you know, kind of vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's more healthy. And we don't put too much fat right now. I know the fat is good flavor, but we don't put too much. So that way it's good taste.
So that's the influence kind of in the other direction.
Uh-huh.
Cliff, tell me, the product line, apart from meat, has changed over the years, too. How has that changed in your store?
The product?
The product line, the groceries you sell. Has that changed very much?
Oh, yeah, changed a whole lot.
Yeah?
We even have taquitos instead of potato chips. That's just an idea. A lot of things changed on the shelf. Yeah. Things sell better than they did before. Things I didn't even sell before. And in the meat business behind the counter, I didn't sell beef feet. I sold pork feet. Sell a lot of beef feet and honeycomb tripe and tripas.
Yeah. Stuff you never used to sell before.
And beef tongues would sell one case in a month and now sell 3 or 4 cases a week. Mm-hmm. Big difference.
Victoria, what was your biggest surprise in putting this film together?
I was surprised at how comfortable everybody felt. We were invading their space and having them mic'd and they're trying to work. So I was really taken aback and appreciative of that.
What are the challenges of working in an environment like that? The edits, the cinematography is beautiful and it's aesthetically, it's just a wonderful film to watch.
Thank you.
But what are the challenges in sort of working in a tight space like that and then, you know, having to go back to the edit room and make it all come together?
We're used to tight spaces. Vittles is very small. We're currently working out of D.L. Anderson's attic. So having edit sessions until 3 a.m. in a tiny attic wasn't much different than being behind that counter for 12 hours.
Well, today on The State of Things, we're talking to filmmaker and documentary maker Victoria Bulabasis, and she has made the film Un Bueno Carnicero. And it is a story of Cliff Collins and Tolo Martinez, who both work at Cliff's Meat Market. Cliff owns the market in Carrboro and the subject of the documentary film. The film's going to be screened at the Carolina Cornucopia Conference at UNC Chapel Hill next Friday at 2 o'clock. There's be streaming it online as well, and you can find out more details at our website, stateofthings.org. And I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a memoir about unlearning the racist lessons of the South. Stay with us.